Thank you for joining me. I'm your host, Jason Coleman, and you are listening to Things That Make You Go, Book Review Podcast. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Things That Make You Go, Book Review Podcast. I am your one-man book club, Jason Coleman. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode. Today, we are going to be reviewing the book, The Spirit of Kaizen by Robert Maurer, PhD, Creating Lasting Excellence One Small Step at a Time. I first became interested in the concept of Kaizen maybe, I don't know, I'd say 4 or 5 years ago when I started getting into working out, and I was posting up a lot of pictures on Facebook, and some people were saying that, oh, wow, I really love how you're starting to work out, you're starting to do all these things as you're approaching your, you know, middle-aged life, and you're still, you know, keeping very active with all these interests. But then I had this one friend, a Japanese friend, who said that you really embody the spirit of Kaizen. And so I wasn't exactly sure what she meant by that. I had never heard the term before. And so I did a little bit of research and I looked into it a little bit. And I found, and what I basically found was that, and this is the definition that I still more or less use when people ask me what that is, but Kaizen is more or less when you strive for continuous improvement with very small steps. And I will say, and you're going to hear me talk about this in the book review, that that's just not really something that people, especially if you're an American, that people really embrace very much. What we like is to have immediate results, usually some magic pill, some new great idea, some brand new invention. And I think that's where a lot of our optimism comes from. And I don't want to take this too far off to the side, but I think that's kind of one of the problems that we're actually having right now with the global climate debate is, at least most of the people who I know, who I talk to, and I ask them about questions about, you know, the threats, the existential threats from global climate change, and most of them will say, well, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's a problem, and it could be very serious, but we're going to figure out, we'll figure something out. Well, there'll be some technology, there'll be some new invention, and I think that in a lot of ways, that's just kind of the mentality that we have. We're really only interested in change if it can happen fairly rapidly without too much of a commitment. And Kaizen is certainly the opposite of that. And I'll get into that a little bit more here in a second. So the author who wrote, now, and I should probably preface that the author who wrote this book was definitely writing a book that was more geared towards the business sort of self-help improvement market, that group of people. And I will say that I enjoy reading those kind of books a lot and reviewing those kind of books, because I think if you're going to, and even though I don't actually work in the private sector, I don't own a business or anything like that, but I will say that if you're going to manage people or you're going to manage a business, humans are tricky, humans are complicated, and a lot goes into trying to figure out how you can get the best results for people physically, emotionally, psychically, and these books tend to be geared towards that, which I find is usually applicable to most stages of life. And this book is absolutely applicable to that. I think that anything that you, if there's anything that you are unhappy with in your life, I think that Kaizen is a great way to begin to make those changes. But a big thing, and I think this kind of relates back to a lot of the stoicism that I talk about, is that you really have to have the right expectations. I mean, if you're walking into a gym and your expectations is by the end of the week or even by the end of the month that you're going to be looking great and developing all these new habits and all this other stuff, you're going to be disappointed. I mean, if you're thinking in terms of maybe by this time next year, you'll have significant weight loss or, you know, lower body fat composition or whatever the case is. Well, that's a little bit different, okay? And there's going to take commitment and there's going to take strategies and a lot of other things. But the whole idea is that you have to take these small steps in order to accomplish this. And the author says that the reason why is because that the human brain is not wired very well for large scale. Not only is the human brain not wired very well for large scale changes, but the human brain will actually begin to reject and go into a state of almost paralysis when tasked with a large looming question. And as you know, I work as a public school teacher, so I'm going to be talking a lot about how this might apply to education. And one of the things that they say is that, you know, in education, we are constantly looking for some new idea, some new bright plan, some new, you know, some genius has come up with something and it's going to, you know, improve students' outcomes and test scores and social emotional learning, and it's all going to happen, you know, by the end of the year. It's really crazy. So, I mean, I've been dealing with this for almost 20 years. So, you know, this is definitely applicable here for me. But in reality, where I think change takes place and what the Japanese were aware of is that usually it's not necessarily some small new idea that creates this. It's very small tweaks and changes in order to improve yourself just a little bit each day. Okay. And if you read any of the, I know what's popular right now, and I've done a book review on these before, on this whole concept of called micro habits. And what micro habits say is that, okay, if I were to tell you to do 100 push-ups every day, you're going to immediately reject it. You're going to say, okay, you're just not cut out for getting in shape or weight loss or anything like that. Just forget it. But if I were to say, look, set yourself a goal to do 10 push-ups each day, okay? But what you have to do, that's your goal, is to get to 10 push-ups. But what you have to do is at least one push-up every day. If you can do one push-up, you've made your goal. Okay, if you get to 10, fantastic. That's what your ultimate goal for the day was. And what they find is that if you do one push-up, chances are you'll do a few more. It's just that initial commitment. And once you have then begun to train your brain to get into a new habit, following through with your habit becomes easier than not doing what's into your habit. And that's actually what I try to accomplish a lot as a public school teacher, is that what I'm trying to do is I teach English, so I'm trying to get the students to create a regular habit of reading and writing. So what I'll say is, okay, every day we're going to read for 5 minutes, every day. And what I found was eventually happening is that the students would begin to take their, and I never said, look, you got to take your books home, you got to read every night and stuff like that. But what I noticed that the students eventually did start taking their books home. They did start reading much more than they were in previous years. And it's simply because I said, okay, every day in class, we're going to read for 5 minutes. And by me setting up that initial commitment, creating that initial habit, eventually I'm setting the foundation for Kaizen. And then after we get to those 5 minutes, then maybe we graduate to, I ask students some random questions about their books. Maybe I make suggestions. Maybe students begin to work in pairs. And before you know it, maybe they set themselves a goal of reading 10 to 15 books personally per year. But if I had just come in at the beginning of the year and said, okay, guys, you're going to read 10 to 15 new books per year, they would have been overwhelmed and probably shut down. One of the things that the author talks about is when he went to conferences, you know, being a business consultant. And I thought this was something that is unique to education, but I guess it's not, only because I've probably been to literally dozens and dozens of educational conferences in my career. And every time it's the same thing. You'll hear somebody talk about some new idea. They give you some new charts and some new worksheets and some new concepts. You watch some videos, you work in groups. And I think that the supervisors are kind of under this bizarre notion that we're going to take this information, we're going to bring it back into our classroom, and all of a sudden we're going to have a much different classroom than we had before. And even though even though that's not how it ever works out, for some reason it doesn't stop the supervisors from believing that maybe this time it'll be different. And it's just not the case. That's not how it happens. And I think that's why, at least myself, I've been so resistant to any sort of implemented mandated changes into my class. It's not necessarily because I'm anti-change. I'm not. What I'm anti-against is anti-drastic change. Because when we do that, well, at least for myself, I am constantly thinking about my lessons. I'm constantly making small tweaks. Oh, that question didn't work so well. Let me adjust it so I ask this question next year. Okay, some of these students were confused on this part. One of the students made a really good point about this. I'll have to make sure I bring up that same point in the next conversation when we talk about this subject again. And if you watch me, I walk around the class with a clipboard, always thinking, okay, how can I make a small adjustment here, a small adjustment there? And that's where I really believe that's where the improvement comes from. I'll give you another example. I've been doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu for probably a little over 10 years now, and my instructors have said that I've really shown a lot of improvement over the years. And the only thing that I really do, honestly, is I go to class, I pay attention, okay? And when I go home, sometimes I'll jot down some notes, and I made a commitment. So if I learn something new or I thought I was doing something wrong, I log it into my journal. Once or twice a week, I'll read over my journal, just, you know, very quick cursory glance. And I don't think that by itself, I don't think that me making one journal entry log or me reviewing my notes, that by itself is not going to make me any better at what I'm doing. But what if the accumulation over years and years of these small improvements, what effect does that have? And and I'll say, I feel like I've probably improved, you know, more with putting in less effort than somebody who is just, you know, very dedicated to getting better within a short period of time. It's that small accumulation. Okay. Now, another thing that I want to talk about is that when you think about improvement, one of the ways that people can get improvement, whether they're unhappy with something in their life or they're just trying to become a generally better person, is they can seek therapy. And one of the types of therapy that I've always been interested in is cognitive behavioral therapy. Now, anybody who has actually gone into cognitive behavioral therapy or you know a little bit about it, I do encourage you to listen to my podcast on the subject. You know that that's very similar to what the therapists try to do. They try to have you improve by keeping daily journals, reading through your journals, having a conversation, having an internal dialogue, and then using that information to just keep making notes and reviewing your notes and having conversations. And before long, what's happening is that what you're envisioning in your mind, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in a second, is going to start manifesting itself in your actions. And before you know it, you know, it's going to be a different time period depending on what your level of commitment is and you know, your ability to, you know, change habits. By doing that over a period of time, you're going to see these gradual improvements. But the problem is, and this is why I think metrics are so important, if you're not keeping some sort of data set, okay, over a period of time, you might be improving, but it's at such a gradual pace, you're not aware of your improvement. And I think that's one of, at least in education, that's one of the biggest problems that we have, is that the only metric that we really use or that anybody seems to care about is some end of the year national test. And you compare that to how you did the year before. But I just think that we need feedback at a much faster pace. I think people need to see what they were doing before, what they're doing now, you know, in certainly within those increments, in order to get a better idea of what their improvement is. Otherwise, I think you're just going to get discouraged, and you're going to feel as if you're putting in all of this time and effort, and it's just not manifesting itself into anything tangible. So let me talk a little bit more about some of the techniques in the book that I'm actually using myself, and I didn't even realize that I was using it. And it can be a great way in order to have this sort of daily practice towards improvement. One of the things that he's a big fan of is this idea of what he calls mental sculpting. And this is a big part of the book. And what mental sculpting is when you spend some time every day, and it might just be a couple minutes, where you visualize yourself actually partaking in the event that you want to be successful at. So let me give you an example. My wife is an amateur, semi-competitive marathon runner, and what I would, if I were in her position, what if and I were doing mental sculpting, I might visualize myself getting up every morning to run 10 miles or whatever the or whatever it is that she does. Or I might visualize myself eating healthy, certain types of foods, putting the spoon into my mouth, actually chewing and crunching the vegetables. Or I might visualize myself going to bed at an early time. I see that maybe I set myself an alarm for 9:30. I see myself getting into bed with my book at 9:45, reading until I fall asleep. And it's somebody might say, "Well, isn't that just fantasy? What's the point of visualizing this stuff if none of it ever happens?" And I think I would have agreed with that before I read this book, but I'm starting to understand that. Once you can, and this is, I think, what the author is arguing as well, is once you're able to see yourself completing these tasks successfully, and this is what's amazing about the human brain, is you can conjure up these images. If you do this enough times, you'll begin to have the confidence in yourself in order to accomplish the task. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to be successful the first time around. One of the hobbies that I've been into for the last, 5-6 years is painting miniature figures with acrylic paints. And I'll tell you right now, I don't consider myself to be that great, but I do put in a little bit of practice several times a week. And I do try to do things such as photographing my work. And I did hire a coach, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in a second, in order to see some of my improvement over time. And I will say that I am, it's not necessarily that I'm visualizing myself, doing these masterpieces, but there's certain techniques I visualize myself doing. And so when I actually do it, I do have that confidence, and it's going to change. As I begin to develop new skills, new abilities, then my visualizing is going to change as well. But if I were to just sit down with no plan of action, I think I might be discouraged. I might be intimidated. And that's really what the mental sculpting is about. It's about giving yourself your game plan, your confidence, in order to follow through with whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish. And I think if the author were to have a conversation with you or with me, I think the big takeaway, and we were to say, what's the big takeaway from this book, is I think he would say, readjust your expectations. Don't try to get everything accomplished in one day. There's been many sayings about this. Rome wasn't built in one day. Okay. But relish the opportunity to improve through these very small steps. Give yourself rewards. Give yourself kudos. Stop being such a tough critic on yourself. Set yourself some very small goals. Even though in the interim, it might not seem like very much is being accomplished, okay? The cumulative effect of all of these small improvements taking place over time is going to yield you the results that you want. You just have to understand that there's a time commitment and there's a process. Like one of the things that he talked about, I thought this was fascinating, is when it comes to weight loss, he said one of the things that you can do is, instead of, when you have like your plate of food and you're trying to reduce your calories, which most dietitians would say is the most effective way to lose weight, is to just reduce your calories, is to just take one scoop of food, okay, and either push it to the side of your plate, ruin it with some ketchup or some other condiments that you don't like, too much salt, too much pepper. Do that every time, okay, when your food first arrives. First, it'll be one scoop. Then it'll be two scoops. Then you'll be putting your food on a smaller a plate. And over time, maybe over a few months, you'll lose 5-6 pounds. Over a year, maybe you'll be down 10-15 pounds, okay? And before you know it, you're actually beginning to change your lifestyle. You're going to visualize yourself eating less. You're going to visualize yourself putting smaller portions on the plate. But if I were to just say, okay, reduce your calories by half right now, even maybe there are some people who are extremely determined who could do that, but most people couldn't. They would immediately, their brains, similar to my brain and most people I know, they would immediately panic at being overwhelmed with this crisis, and they wouldn't be able to put that plan into action. And I wish I had more say-so within educational circles, because this is probably what I would try to say to education administrators and superintendents as well, is I would say, instead of looking for that new great program, instead of trying to transform your school, why don't you ask the teachers, what's one small adjustment that they could make? Have them dialogue about it. Have a discussion, okay? Maybe they could say, maybe they could have students say that there are three things that they must bring to their desk every morning, no matter what, okay? And then have some sort of a chart where kids are checking things off and understanding what they're bringing to their desk. Maybe from there, you could then say, okay, we're going to spend 5 minutes doing this every single day. And instead of, I think that that would be so much more tangible, so much more meaningful than just kind of waiting around for this new next great program that's going to come around and save everybody. Okay, so that's pretty much it. That's pretty much the book review. I'll be back in a few weeks. I don't know which book I'm going to be reviewing next. But again, I really think that if you're serious about getting some self-help, about improving something in a hobby, about losing weight, about improving relationships, about getting better at your job, your business, whatever the case is, if you're not going to read this book, then at least watch some sort of a video or just get a little bit more information about the whole concept of Kaizen, because I think it could really help to change your outlook on what it means to improve. So again, that's The Spirit of Kaizen, Creating Lasting Excellence, One Small Step at a Time. All right, and that's it for me. I will see you soon, and until then, happy reading.